Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. A men's basketball champion will be crowned tonight in Indianapolis as UConn and Michigan meet in the national title game at 8:50. Huskies seek their third title in 4 years. Wolverines had their first since 1989. A Michigan win also seals a hat trick for the Big Ten. After UCLA won Sunday's women's hoops title and Indiana won the CFP crown, it will be the first conference hat trick since the SEC did it in 2007. Coverage on the Fan starts at 8. More college hoops, per reports, Ohio State guards Gabe Cups and Tayson Chapman have entered the transfer portal. MLB, Guardians host the Royals at 6:10. Cleveland's Tanner Bibee faces KC's Michael Wacha. Then, the Reds visit the Marlins at 6:40. Cincy's Brandon Williamson starts against Miami's Jansen Junk. This update is sponsored by Eco Plumbers. Get $500 in free repairs when you buy a new water heater. Visit GetEco.com and book today. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
All right, here we go. Welcome back aboard. We are Rothman and Ice. Happy to have you with us. Anthony Rothman, Matty Ice Hayes, and the Loose Cannon. Boys, here we are. Big week. Big week.
Come on, man. What up? What up?
Hockey, Masters, Natty, yeah. All sorts of stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, baseball's just cooking right now, man. You are absolutely right. It's action-packed. We got some NFL teams reporting for off-season workouts. I saw the Ravens are doing stuff today. So, yeah, man, we got a lot going on. It's good to see you again and good to be back in the house. Hope everybody's having a nice start to their week.
Masters is coming Thursday.
I know you got to be gassed up for this.
I am. You know what? I overthought the NCAA tournament. We'll get to that. Like on the air on the show, I said Michigan, and then when Penn got to paper, I did Arizona, and now you know, I was walking back. I'm worried about this Arizona team, and then I'm the one that's selling that trend forever, which is no team west of whatever has never won like 26, 28 years. And everybody that I talked to, I'm like, can I just beg you to co-sign that with me? Like, no team west of whatever.
Didn't get any takers, huh?
No, they're like, yeah, I don't think that matters. It mattered, again.
Is that you leaning into your patented phrase, the humanalytics?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's why I'm taking Xander Schauffele to win the Masters right now.
There it is.
I'm not even thinking about it anymore.
2 minutes into the show.
Forget it.
We got your winner.
That's it.
X-Man gonna give it to you.
Knocking on that door, man. Bust it in. Let's go.
Okay. Respect it. I don't know who I'm picking.
I have no idea even how he's playing lately. I don't care. Because I overthought the tournament. I'm not going to do that again.
I'm here for it. A little blank them picks energy for you to start the week.
Exactly.
I'm here for it.
That's right. By the way, did I hear Tyler Danberg mention that if Michigan wins, it's going to be a sweep, the Big Ten sweep, because the women from UCLA won?
They're in the conference.
Sorry.
They're in the conference.
Not yet.
Okay,
everyone's trying to sell that. Yes, they're in the Big Ten, but give me a break.
Let me ask you this then. How long does UCLA, USC need to be in the Big Ten?
10 years.
Wow. That's tough. Tough crowd.
That's right.
Coming out on fire
Old
today.
School.
10 years.
Big Ten's going to sweep because UCLA won the women's.
Technically, they're right. Yeah. Hey, and UCLA's baseball team's number one in the country, so they may get a couple.
Mm-hmm. We're going to claim that?
Probably.
Big Ten baseball out in California. Jackets. Desperation mode.
Oh, boy.
I think we're finally there now.
DEFCON 1?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this is it. Tomorrow night is it.
Oh, so you're saying tomorrow night would be the nail in the coffin, officially?
Mathematically, but it would feel psychologically like, and I'm not speaking for anybody but myself. I think this one's too important. It's a big one because it's a team that you're neck and neck with. Like that, now I'm fighting. And the funny thing is I'm fighting for, I was fighting for third in the Metro. I thought that was their way in. I thought that was the better chance than even the wild card. And, Philly jumps up and now they're sitting there. This will be interesting now because they're above the line, the Flyers. Now let's see how they handle it. All right, now you guys handle the hot potato a little bit. Let's see how you guys handle the pressure. Ottawa's, they're good, but they've got injuries of their own. And the Islanders fired their coach. Did you see this over the weekend? They fired their coach.
Crazy.
like four games left.
What's the point?
The point.
Explain that to me. What are they doing that make, how does that make any sense? Four games left. Why not just let the guy see it through? What's going on?
I believe because they want the other guy. And I think that it's his time. And if he leaves or gets another job,
okay,
they'll feel like they missed the boat.
So there's an in-house hire that they want to make.
That would be my
feel. And they don't want him to go elsewhere.
Yeah, okay. That'd be my all feel. Right. That'd be the reason that you pull the ripcord on Wah. And then, you know, he lost the room and, yeah, I guess he lost his job. So that's that.
Yeah.
But they're trying to spark themselves and see if they can't. It's a great fight. I mean, even last week, I'm like, they've never been through this under Bones. I think that's part of it. I think once you go into a little mini skid with a new coach, I don't think you really know how you're going to react. Yeah. And I don't even think he knew, because he hadn't gone through this with them yet. And now they're all feeling it together. And they're trying to fight their way out together, but they got nothing to really go back to and say, hey, remember this back a month ago?
When no muscle we went memory through? To go back to.
No, because they couldn't afford that,
right.
And they went on a great streak, and you applaud them for it, and I have, and that's why I feel like the payoff of getting in would reward this run, but man, to lose, to get 1 point in your last six games is excruciating.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost to the point where even though you're selling one-goal losses and a shootout loss and a couple of one-goal losses, the one at Montreal, and we had Zach on, and he said, you know, all losses weren't created equal. They all count the same, but they weren't created equal as far as how he felt they played. And now it comes down to you're on the road all week, and it's beefy, it's tough. I have no idea what's going to happen if we get to when they come home. You know, Boston's in. Washington will play this thing out probably. But tomorrow night's the night. I really do think. Because I think there's no real feel of catching any fire if you lose again. You're going to be your seventh straight loss. Mm-hmm. I guess then you're left for dead and then the pressure essentially is off. But there's a feeling that they need to go 4-1 and maybe even get some help.
It's always a scary thing, right, when a team or a player goes on a crazy hot streak, because we all know at some point in time that that player or team is going to cool off. You just hope the player or team doesn't completely fall off a cliff with their production. And unfortunately, that's what's happening right now with the six straight losses that you mentioned, and the offense is just nowhere to be found. It's just nowhere to be found right now. We talked about the injuries. We all know how that's tough, and overcoming that is always going to be an issue. But there was just a hope that they'd be able to scratch and claw and find a way to put the puck in the back of the net. And that's just an extreme uphill climb right now. And I'm sure Rick Bonus, his staff right now, they're going through all the options that they can go through with the lines and whatever they have to do, they just have to do at this point. You have to go out there and make some type of adjustments, which I'm sure they've been doing and will do now moving forward, because obviously it's not completely cooked just yet, but it's not looking good, obviously. It's not looking good. And so that is, to me, just watching these games throughout this losing streak, AR, is just the thing that just is sticking with me right now, is when you lose some guys like a Siva, who's an important piece to your defense, you just hope that maybe if you find yourself in some contest where you got to get up and down the ice a little bit and light up the lamp, and because you're giving up more than what you're used to doing, that you could overcome that and have offense on the other end. And just right now, it's not there. It's not there.
They've created some chances. The lid is on that net somehow. They just can't crack it. And I know they've gotten a little too cute lately. You know, they've got a odd man rush, and I don't know if Marchman is there. Stick isn't on the ice, right? Like it bounces over him, or I don't know if he was really truly ready for a rebound or a shot himself. And Zach talked about not all five guys being on the same page. And that to me goes to a little bit of just this hodgepodge lineup and the fact that the chemistry, and it's not crazy. It's not like they've had wholesale changes, but they've had enough where maybe they just don't feel like they're in rhythm. I remember when we had Sivo on a couple weeks ago, and I asked him about confidence, and the conversation we had was, there's nobody in this league we don't think we can beat. So that just tells you the highs and lows of confidence in pro sports. When you're playing well, everyone is doing their job and everyone's feeling good and you're freed up.
Yeah.
You're because of the confidence, you're dripping with it. And then when things go bad, it's all right. Now we got to find answers. And what are those answers? And everyone wants to ask about pressure and are you wilting? Is that it? And no one's going to be able to admit that. Like no one's going to be able to say, yep, it's too bright.
No,
right. I looked in my teammate's eyes and I'll tell you what, he was frightened. Like that's no one's going to either know it or admit it. It's hard to say that. But to your point on the goals, to be 1-6-1 in their last eight and score a total of 13 goals, that's just, they know it. And I'm now past the point of that there's nothing that a win can't cure. They need more than one. They can't think about it that way, but they've got to win. When we talked about them getting in, I remember saying to you on the show, no one's handing this to them. They got to win their way in. They earned the right to get to the point where they controlled their own destiny, and now they really don't anymore. That's what they've lost.
Mm-hmm.
They earned so much.
Control,
it just kind of hit me. Like they lost. They earned control. Mm-hmm. They didn't earn their way in. They earned control of their way in, and now they've lost that control. Yep. I feel like so now you got to take both those and just chuck them, and now go play hockey and try to get a result against a team that's going to be playing as intense as they will, and it's going to be on the road tomorrow night. Here it's quickly. Here's Zach on the belief.
Yeah, I mean, I think you just said it. We're not eliminated. We're still in it. And I believe in this group. I believe we can get it done, and it's just doing it. I mean, we did it for 2 months. The last 2 weeks obviously haven't gone our way, but it's in the room, and it's on us to just pull it out and get it done. But it starts with one game at a time. We can't worry about what our teams do or whoever we have after Detroit. Our focus just has to be on Detroit, and after that, we'll figure it out.
So he's right. Remember all the questions we've asked the last few weeks? Hey, you watching the scoreboard? Are you paying attention? Yeah, we take a peek. Well, that's over.
Mm-hmm.
All that is over.
Just got to lock in on what you can do.
I don't want to be looking up at a ticker. That's it.
Right.
They're now at desperation time. All right, we're going to come back. The Final Four, this was supposed to be the greatest Final Four in history. So what happened? We'll talk about it next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
We're known for three things: games, conversation, and common man yelling about things only he cares about. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Every time.
Have you ever met a man who wins money betting on tennis? Enter Scotty Vegas. Join Scotty and Dave Biddle for On the Money.
Presented by Ohio for Responsible Gambling.
Sunday mornings at 9 on The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Plan for a pretty quiet rest of your day, although it is going to be breezy at times. Northwest winds of 10 to 20 gusts higher. Partly cloudy skies overall, in the mid-50s for a high this afternoon. Mostly clear skies tonight with a widespread freeze. Temperatures fall down to the lower 30s. On Tuesday, it'll be a cool one, even with lots of sunshine. Highs only reach the upper 40s. The wind is going to be quite a bit lighter. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact Meteorologist Justin Gertz.
No hot takes, no dancing, plenty of stupid. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Maddie ranked the most dynamic duo of all time. Caesar Salad and Moscow Mule. This is Rothman and Ice.
All right, it's kind of a dud, right? I mean, Illinois came back. They made a little bit of a game. The heavyweight title of Michigan, Arizona was one-sided. They couldn't do a thing. It's a team that doesn't shoot a lot of threes anyway, and they weren't getting much inside. And when you asked me last week, was that a good move or a bad move for Tommy Lloyd to sign the deal? Not that this would have sunk anything. I'm just saying that he would have become the real it guy if he wins it all. All coaches do. And then he would have had a chance, if he wanted to, if it was a dream, to coach a blue blood in Carolina and return them to prominence. He would have been able to call them, and his agent would have been able to call North Carolina if he would have won it all and said, this is what we want.
10 a year.
This is what we and name everything else.
Right.
And they might have said, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying they wouldn't even if you would call now. Hey, the ink's not dry. We rethought it. What I'm saying is that it was smart. If you wanted to stay in Tucson and continue, it was get it off the table and sign it. And I'm not saying even Arizona would have reversed course because of the way they looked. nothing probably would have derailed that, but it does come off a little bit like if you're, you feel like you got a guy. I'm not saying you don't, but that was a team that certainly could have, you know, cut the nets down, and instead they limped off the court, and Michigan loses their best player. And by the way, he comes back, plays okay, Lendenberg, but why?
It's a great question. I wouldn't have played him.
What,
in that situation, correct.
Like,
he didn't need to. He didn't need to be out there. So we're looking at a situation tonight to where two key pieces for both these teams are questionable at best, right? Especially with the solo ball on that side of thing with him with UConn. But I'm with you for sure. And now we've got Hurley on one side and May on the other. And this is really fascinating to me, especially Hurley and this team and what they may be able to accomplish, winning three of four if they get it done tonight, three of the last four. If they get it done tonight, and then you've got Dusty May, who is just right out of the gate, absolutely just going off. You just have to respect it. And Michigan, what they did to Arizona, we've watched Michigan do this to a lot of teams all season long. They've blown out a lot of opponents. They are an absolute squad. And it's going to be fascinating to me tonight to see the bigs. I'm excited tonight to see what's going to happen down low in this game, because you got Reed Jr. for UConn, who is playing really, really well, coming off a game where he had that double-double against Illinois. And then we know you've got Mara and company on Michigan's side of things that have been absolutely balling as well. So that's going to be my focus tonight, is to see what happens down there in the paint. I know Vegas is telling us that Michigan is pretty comfortable favorite in this thing right now. But I just think with UConn and what they may be able to do down low with Reed and how he's playing, that can make the game interesting if they can slow things down just a little bit and maybe take some possessions away from this high-powered Michigan offense.
Michigan is who they were all year. They lost to Duke on a neutral court, and if Mara doesn't get in early foul trouble, maybe they win that game too. They've been this good. When they lose their backup point guard, everyone, No. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
They're a machine. And I have no idea. Dusty May's a very good coach. He's a great story. He was a student manager at Indiana. He was just a guy that came up through the program. Wasn't a great former player. Wasn't sitting on the bench next to Bobby Knight. He wasn't that guy.
It's weird because in sports, sometimes those guys can make really, really good coaches. It's the strangest thing, right? Where you can have star players in whatever sport, dominate, Hall of Fame type guys that get on a bench, and then for whatever reason, their skill set and talent doesn't translate to their team and what they do on the court. But you can have a guy, like an example in the NBA is the Miami Heat head coach, Eric Spoelstra. He was a video guy. He's not a hooper. Did all that stuff with LeBron and company. After LeBron and company, they go to the finals a couple times with Jimmy Butler and Dusty May, to your point, is a guy that wasn't this high-profile baller. But you look at his time at FAU with their Final Four appearance and where he's at right now with Michigan, it's impressive. The dude can absolutely coach.
He can, and he's got horses now.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, all the people I've talked to, Buckeye fans, are like, oh, we could add Dusty May. Yeah, I guess you could have. But you tell me, is this program putting the same players around him? I doubt it. I don't think so. He doesn't have this team. He just doesn't.
I don't know what type of financial backing he has up there in Ann Arbor, but it seems on the surface that it's maybe more than what's happening down here. Yeah. And obviously that's a big deal.
Buckeyes weren't getting Morris Johnson Jr. They were getting him.
And during the broadcast, I think the Fab Five had their own broadcast going on for the Final Four, and there's a five-star kid that committed to him. So this train just seems like it's going to be rolling.
So that's kind of where they are. I won't be surprised if they lose tonight, because this is what UConn has done to teams. And Hurley seems to be leaning in every year or two. I mean, he made sure, the greatest soundbite of the weekend was him making sure that he told everyone, yeah, I heard the guys. We beat Illinois earlier this year. Beat him pretty handily. Everybody, we were the underdog. He goes, I just want to make sure I got that out there. It was really funny.
He's such a good character. I think that the sport needs. You need guys like this that have that energy. And it's always crazy too when we look back and we talk to Dokic about it on Thursday, that not back and forth, but the little situation with the ref and where that could have gone if the ref decided to go by the book, if you will, and hit him with a tech. Like, that would have been just crazy. One of the craziest things we've ever seen. But now he gets this thing done tonight. Now you're talking dynasties type stuff. Now you're talking he's an all-time name type stuff. And this guy's not an old guy either.
Or if the Lakers going to offer him a...
We were at the memorial years ago.
Yeah.
And that news broke, and they were all in on this guy. And now you're seeing why, because of what he's been able to do. And you're seeing guys that he's coached up at UConn now go to the pros and play at a high level. Look at a guy like Stephon Castle for the Spurs. Yeah. I mean, this guy, and that's just what you need, right? You need the momentum of guys going to the league and playing well, but you also need what you highlighted as well. And it's like, hey, we got to have some money to throw around. And UConn is a basketball program, so that's not going to be an issue for them. But on Michigan's side, we talked a lot, AR, about can you do both? Can you do both at a high level? And it seems like that team up north right now is on their way to doing so.
The whole UConn thing with Hurley is pretty amazing. It really is. And against Illinois, it's even more eerie on how the worst three games Illinois has played in the last couple years have all been against UConn. And this year, and I went back and I tweeted this right after the game about, because I think a lot of people forgot that they had played earlier this year. This was a rematch. Illinois was 12 for 55 from three this year against UConn. They scored 61 in the first game, and they scored 62 in the second game.
Clamping them up.
This is for a team averaging 84 a game.
Yeah. Clamps. So, got nothing for them.
Now, a lot of it can be big stadium, new sight lines, shots not falling. You want to be better inside in the paint, in these big stadiums, big dome-type stadiums. But, yeah, I mean, this isn't a coincidence. They're as well-balanced. They're a team. I wonder if they have a true go-to outside of Reed. Now, when I saw Mullins hit the first three of the game back home again in Indiana, I was like, okay, that's it. Like, the first basket of the game was a three by the kid who we talked about for a week. Like, I wonder if this is going to get to their heads. Of course it is.
Of course.
And he was banking threes, but 12 of 55 for Illinois. That's,
sometimes you just run into a squad, right, where it's just a bad matchup.
Yeah, they got it down to four with five to go. Like, it was there for the taking. You kind of missed seven shots in a row. Like, Reed and Mullins hadn't scored in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Illinois could have stolen that game.
There's this magical feel to UConn, especially when they can get in tight games and have stuff go their way. And Hurley obviously can execute down the stretch with, you know, plays out of timeouts or whatever that may be. But it just feels like from start to finish, this Michigan team has been destined this year to do this tonight and get this done. Just run through the finish line and get it done. We've seen it all year long in conference play. We've seen how complete they are and now tournament play. And obviously UConn's going to make them earn it. But this Michigan team just has so many options and so many different ways to hurt you. I think when that confetti falls tonight, they're going to be standing up on the podium with that trophy.
Yeah. They destroyed teams. They beat teams that were equal competition. They became a title favorite pretty early on in this whole thing. And when they went on the road at Illinois, at Purdue, in East Lansing.
Tough environments.
This, they've proven they're as battle-tested as anybody. Ohio State played them well at their place, got run over here. Yeah. But I think most people were like, there's no ceiling for Michigan. The ceiling is
the roof.
That's right.
Shout out to MJ.
We're coming back in 2 minutes. Mike Petraglia, Jungle Roar Pod. What will the Bengals do at number 10? Have they done enough in the offseason to give them options? We'll ask him next. Rothman.org.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door Showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Maddie's favorite show is Big Brother. Don't read into it. He's only watching strangers through hidden cameras. You're listening to Rothman and Creepy Stalker Guy.
All right, time to go down to the Queen City and connect with our good friend Mike Petraglia, Jungle Roar Pod. He does everything down there, and we appreciate his knowledge and time. Trags, how you been, my man?
Just getting ready for April 23rd, 24th, and 25th.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. It's all about that at this time of the year, now that the Reds' home opener is out of the way and the season, baseball season's underway. That third week in April is always a doozy, and it'll be fun for the Bengals because of how many possibilities are out there in terms of the direction they could go.
Yeah, right. It's fun, but it's not, because if we're always talking about them, that means they're always picking up in the dramatic area, and that means things have not gone well. But here they are, and they've lost a few key players. So before we talk about what they've added and maybe what they will do at 10 or what they'll do in the draft, kind of put a bow on the Trey Hendrickson saga. That's that whole era with him and what hole that leaves in this team.
Well, I it's a fair question to ask, what is his legacy with the Bengals? I think his legacy is he goes down right now as we speak as the best free agent signing the Bengals have ever had. He certainly was an impactful defensive edge who was one of the three best in the NFL when he played for the Bengals, certainly in 21, he came of age. He really became a force on that Super Bowl team. But then the next 3 years, he was as good as there was in the NFL. Of course, those years in 23 and 24, when he led the Bengals with back-to-back 17.5 sack seasons, he was incredibly productive. He was reliable as a pass-rushing force. But then, as it always seems to happen with the Bengals, a very productive player who gets up there in age, and then you throw in the injury, the core muscle injury of this past season that eventually required surgery. The Bengals are not going to pay a lot of money for past performance. They're just not. And you're talking about a defensive edge who's 31 years of age, and the Bengals decided to move on. And frankly, I think it was a good business decision to make. Just because of past performance, that doesn't guarantee future results. And goodness knows the Bengals need future production from other people than just Trey Hendrickson going forward. And that's the puzzle they're trying to solve this offseason.
100%. So out goes Trey Hendrickson, and in comes some new faces. And one of those guys is Boye Mafe coming in from Seattle. And so they hand him a new contract, Trags. And what are your thoughts on that addition and how he could fit inside this Al Golden defense?
Well, you know, depending on what you read from the people in Seattle, he was on a terrific defense. They allowed him to just get upfield and get after the passer because they had complementary players around him. The question with the Bengals, and what we all wonder, is are the Bengals going to surround Boye Mafe with similar type players to allow him just to rush upfield, just worry about getting to the quarterback? Or is he going to have to be relied on to play more of the run? And that certainly was not a specialty of Trey Hendrickson, and it's really not a specialty of Boye Mafe. But if they can put other players behind him, and if Al Golden can scheme around his skill set, I think they will have no problem putting Boye Mafe in. You know, he has got tremendous push. Everything I've read about Boye Mafe is that he is one of the most powerful defensive edges in the National Football League. He did have the 1-9 sack season. The Bengals would like to see him get not only to that, but beyond that with the Bengals. And so I think that there's a lot of potential there. He's still very young at 26 years of age. So I think with Boye Mafe, the Bengals are hoping that they get somebody who is entering the prime of his career like they did with Trey Hendrickson.
Trags, as much as they've added a little bit here defensively, we all have to assume that they're lean at number 10 up near the top will be defense. Wouldn't you agree with that? But if the board falls a certain way, their dream is edge rusher, and then they would maybe pivot to corner. How do you see that first pick?
I think they have their sights set on two players, Caleb Downs and Sonny Styles. There's definitely a world where both of them are gone by the time the Bengals select at 10. And no, I do not see the Bengals trading up. They just don't do that. And they're sure as heck not going to do that and give up a second round or a third rounder. They just are not in a position to do that because of how many holes they still have to fill on defense. So they're going to stay at 10, I think. And Styles or Caleb Downs is certain, certainly an option. David Bailey is another option out of Texas Tech. Arvel Reese is, again, probably not going to be around. I have heard in the world where all of those guys and Reuben Bain is also gone that they could consider taking Jeremiah Love. I doubt they would do that, although he is, I think, a generational running back based on all the draft, all the lead-up information available on Jeremiah Love out of Notre Dame. He is certainly somebody that would be intriguing. But I'll give you a name that I think the Bengals might be very interested in, and that's Mansoor Delane, because I think he is a long, fluid outside corner with shutdown potential. I could see in a world where they put him on the outside, move Dax Hill inside, and they've already added Byron Cook. They've already added, obviously, Kyle Duggar. I think there's a world where the Bengals could draft a corner like Mansoor Delane.
Let's go over to the offensive side of the ball, because, you know, something that caught my eye was Jeremy Fowler reported a few days ago that the Bengals were set to host former Cal and Oklahoma running back Jaden Otten. So, Trags, in your opinion, how much of a priority does that need to be for them? Do they need a big-time boost in the running back room right now, in your opinion?
I go back and forth on this because I think they like their running back room of Chase Brown, Samaje Perine, and Taj Brooks out of Texas Tech. Unless it is a player that brings a specific skill set that they feel they don't have, then I don't see the need to really add to the running back room. Again, if Jeremiah Love, for whatever reason, is available at 10, I think there's a world where they might consider taking him. But other than that, everything I've heard inside the organization is they like the running back room.
Trags, is there a dream pick here up top? Like if they could construct the board the way they wanted, who do they want to be sitting there at 10?
Sonny Styles. I initially thought a couple of weeks ago it'd be Caleb Downs, who I think is 1A on that list. But Sonny Styles, they've already addressed the secondary, and I think they feel reasonably so that they are in good shape with the secondary. I think they need to address the linebacking room. Yes, they have two second-year players in Barrett Carter and Demetrius Knight Jr., but they were rookies last year who struggled. I think Sonny Styles is a different type of linebacker who can play all over the field. He is the most versatile linebacker in the draft, literally can play almost any position except defensive tackle. I'd think they would love to have Sonny Styles available and take him because it would fit a lot of needs that they have. He would be, as Zach Taylor and Duke Tobin said at the NFL Combine, he would be a force multiplier.
So this is maybe unrealistic, but if somebody like Reuben Bain would drop, is that the guy they'd love to see there?
Yeah, I think that's another name, certainly. I wouldn't get too caught up in all of the worries about his arm measurements and 30 and I think 3/4 inches arm length. You know, a lot of people are going nuts over that on Twitter and social media. I don't see that as a big issue, and here's why. In the biggest college games last year against the best competition, he was at his most productive. Yeah. He was a beast. He got to the quarterback. He got to the running back. He constantly was a presence in the offensive backfield. That is what the Bengals need. They need a disruptor, and he is an elite disruptor with great push, great power, great ability to win at the point of attack. Yes, his arms are shorter, but I don't think the Bengals care if he is a plug-and-play disruptor that they can put on the defensive line and let him go get the quarterback, let him go get the running back, and tackle, which has been an obvious point of emphasis this offseason so far in free agency. Get guys who can bring the ball carrier to the ground. Reuben Bain Jr. out of Miami fits all of those, or checks all of those boxes.
Good stuff as always, my man. We appreciate your time. enjoy the lead up to the draft, and we'll talk to you soon.
You got it. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Mike. He should write about it. That's what he should do. Put it out there. Short arms. If you want, like, I almost said that to him at the end. I was almost like, okay, let's get a little quiet on the old short arms thing, because if you want him, talk it up.
It's going to be fascinating what Ruben Bain does in the league. Because there have to be so many GMs that are scared to take him. Because history's telling them, don't do it.
Violent hands.
History's telling these
short GMs arms, violent hands.
That he can be a good player, but he's going to be limited with what he can do. And so I am just so interested in where he is going to get picked.
Just saying, I was about to say to Trags, if you're going to talk about it, keep talking about it. If you want him, Cincinnati should plant that story. They should want that smoke out there.
Okay, I like that.
Because if they want him to drop, yeah, they should be one of the teams that are touting the short arms theory.
I'm seeing the vision with what Trags is saying about Sonny Styles, though. Him flying around the second level, just being a dog for them. A dog. I think he would immediately just fit and plug and play in Al Golden's defense and be really, really special.
Man, he could fluctuate anywhere up that first 10.
Man.
And he could be right there waiting for him.
Yep.
All right. By the way, top of the hour, the floor is yours. So you can get in the queue now, 821-9710. And coming your way next, party like a Rothstar. Who had the best weekends? We'll tell you. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
We know everything about you. We know you love the Buckeyes. We know you love the Jackets. We know you're wearing a red shirt. I just freaked the hell out of someone. The Fan.
Hey, what's up? It's T-Bone.com.
The Jackets hit the road for a battle with the Red Wings. Live fan coverage starts Tuesday night at 6:30.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating and Cooling.
Proud to be your flagship home of the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Fan.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Columbus Worthington Air and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Let's all gather into the Kiki. It's time to party like a Rothstar.
It absolutely is. All right. You want to lead us off?
I'll lead us off this week. I'm starting up in Cleveland. I mean, this guy. Chase the Louder? What are you on right now, sir? You're on that good stuff because you're bringing some pop and a spark to this Guardians offense that is much needed. Had a little injury scare a couple games ago, but now he's looking good, man. And this guy is leading in all the major categories on offense right now for your Cleveland Guardians. At the moment, the man has 5 dingers, tied for first in all of Major League Baseball. Obviously, that leads the team as well. But he leads the team in batting average, .312. He leads the team in RBIs and hits. And we've been talking the last few years, right? Hey, you know what the Guardians are going to do? They're going to pitch well. They're going to play defense. They're going to do all the small things and scratch and claw their ways to victory. But this is what they needed. A guy that they could put at the top of the lineup, middle of the lineup, whatever Steven Vogt wants to do, and bang a little bit. And that's what he's doing right now. So Chase DeLauder, new kid on the block right now, is absolutely on one. It's been cool to see. The man has been partying like a Rasta.
He is. That's a little bit of out of nowhere.
Yeah.
All right, so I was kind of going back and forth between talking about actually golf versus NBA, and then when I saw what Cooper Flagg has done,
man,
I can't ignore it. 45 points, 8 boards, 9 assists, couple steals, a block, couple three-pointers in the win over the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
2 days removed from scoring 51 in a loss. And here's the history. This is why I bring it up. So he's 19, as everybody knows. He's the first teenager in league history to score 40, at least 40 in consecutive games. And I believe he's got 4 40-point games in his rookie season. LeBron had 1. I'm not turning him into him, but this is pretty amazing. In addition to everything that's going on, he committed like 2 turnovers. Like, it's not even like it's offset with mistakes. And he was a couple rebounds and an assist shy of a triple-double. And so they play 4 games, I think, coming up this week, and they could decide to let him go all out in hopes of beating out his former teammate, Con Knipple, for the Rookie of the Year.
Oh, yeah.
But Cooper Flagg is everything they talked about.
Man, and then some, kind of, right?
Like, and then some.
And then you think about Tua.
Set the foot long, and then some.
Movie?
That is a movie.
You're up. We haven't heard from you yet. Come on down. Your number has been called, sir. You guys can see his he threw his hands up when I called.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
No. No. It's an 80s movie.
Bad News Bears.
No.
The original Karate Kid.
No. If I gave you an actor in it, I still don't think you'd get it.
Beverly Hills Cop 1.
Glad you said cop singular. I actually like when you say Beverly Hills Cops.
Cop and a half. Burt Reynolds.
This was from a movie called Bachelor Party.
Mm.
Tom Hanks.
Okay.
And company.
We got Tom Hanks on the TV right now. What movie is that, AR?
That's Apollo 13.
Okay.
An outstanding movie.
Okay.
Kevin Bacon. I've seen that one.
Yeah, it's on right now, TLC, on AMC. I love that you put Cooper Flagg on Party Like This, because coming into this, he had to deal a little bit with the, oh, man, they lost Luca.
Mm-hmm.
Got to provide a little something, a little hope, and he's absolutely doing that. He is crushing this thing right out of the gate. He's also on defense, too. Like, that's the other part, is he'll give you buckets, and then he'll clamp you up as well. I'm going to the NBA because there was a game that happened on Saturday afternoon into the evening that was on, I believe, Amazon Prime. And this thing was a movie. The San Antonio Spurs and the Denver Nuggets AR put on an absolute show. This game went to overtime. Two of the best players in the entire world were going bar for bar, band for band, bucket for bucket in this game, that being Nikola Jokic and Victor Wembanyama. Wemby in the game comes up. He and his team come up just 2 points short, but those guys have to come out of this game feeling really, really confident because Denver, as we know, is a championship-caliber team. Wemby in this game, 34, 18 rebounds, 7 assists, 5 blocks, a steal in the game as well. And then the Joker, Nikola Jokic, who has averaged now a triple-double this season, a 40-piece, 40 points, 13 assists, 8 rebounds from your big man. Those guys just going at it. It was like Godzilla and King Kong down low, man. It was absolutely incredible. The Spurs are the young team on the come-up. This Denver team is an established team that has been there and done that. But this game was an absolute banger. Could be a Western Conference Finals preview. So both the Spurs, the Nuggets, specifically Wemby and the Joker putting on a show, partying like a rock star on Saturday afternoon.
Did you see Steph last night?
What he came back.
They came all the way back and lost.
Yeah.
And he had a million points, made a million threes. Yeah. He was feeling it. And then at the end, I don't know about you, but I feel like everybody in the world knows he's got to get the shot down one. Like, he's going to get it. And sometimes I feel like it is kind of Hoosiers-esque, which is, hey, we're going to use Jimmy as a decoy. Like, no one's going to use Steph as a decoy. And he threw up a shot with two guys on him, and it wasn't the best shot. They could have gotten an easy two, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And they decided, since he was on fire and he got him all the way back, that he has to get the last shot.
It's tough, right? Yeah. Because, like, clearly he's the best shooter of all time, but to your point, sometimes you just don't want to force it.
All right, so I will give a little golf shout out here because this guy wanted to be a skateboarder when he was growing up in South Pasadena, California. Wanted to be like his icon, you know, Tony Hawk, those guys.
Used to love that game, by the way.
PS2. Andrew Reynolds, Eric Ellington. So he went to San Diego State University, and the men's golf team there worked at Torrey Pines. And he used to clean shoes of the tour guys when they come in the locker room to kind of raise money for the program. He played 4 years at SDSU. And his name is J.J. Spaun. You remember J.J. Spaun because he won the U.S. Open not long ago, last year. And he got his third career win. So he's got two Texas Opens as the bread of the U.S. Open sandwich. So he's got three. And Spaun moves up to 24 on the FedEx Cup rankings. And it was pretty cool because he won on his caddy's birthday. So he's going to get a lot of money there. And after he won the U.S. Open last year, guess who sent him a autographed skateboard? Tony Hawk. So the dream comes full circle.
That's awesome.
All right. That's part of the Roth Star for
real
today.
Real quick, I got to mention Chase Burns. Reds fans, you got to be loving what we're seeing from this kid right now. He's already got 16 Ks on the year, a 0.82 ERA. Around the world of baseball, when you got an ace, that's called win day. Maybe we're looking at a few trades for our Cincinnati Reds. Chase Burns partying like a Roth Star. The kid's been awesome.
We both have him in fantasy. You have him?
Flamethrower.
Yeah, I have him too.
Love that dude already.
So he was dominant. No decision, but he was dominant. Yeah. All right, we're going to come back top of the hour party. We just did party. We're going to do The Floor Is Yours. That's 821-9710 is the number. Weigh in, and we'll hand it over to you next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
We are your radio home for the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. We may have a bit of a football problem.
Oh, yeah.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
There's an old story about station.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. The stage is set for tonight's NCAA Men's Basketball National Championship game as UConn and Michigan collide at 8:50 from Indianapolis. Here on the Fan, starting at 8. College football, Ohio State head coach Ryan Day told the media today left tackle Austin Sarveld and right tackle Philip Daniels will miss the rest of spring after undergoing minor procedures. MLB, Guardians host the Royals tonight at 6:10. Cleveland announced Tuesday's game was moved up to 1:10 due to cold temperatures in the evening. Down to the Sunshine State, Reds visit the Marlins at 6:40. Hear it on the Fan, too, after Buckeye Roundtable. In the WNBA, the Chicago Sky are trading all-star forward Angel Reese to the Atlanta Dream in exchange for two first-rounders. This update sponsored by Green & Sons. Find your next Kubota tractor at Green & Sons, located in Mount Sterling in North of Marysville, and online at greenandsons.com. Breaking sports news when it happens on the Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Miss a minute of Rothman and Ice? Check out the podcast.
Type in Rothman and Ice wherever you get your podcasts. Download and subscribe.
Back to Rothman and Ice.
All right, second hour of the program. Floor is yours, 821-9710, if you want to talk to TLC. It's been on the horn with somebody. Who knows? We've got Adam King at 10 TV, bottom of the hour. So before we get to the calls, I was reading this story, and tell me if you find this kind of nuts. A Fort Scott, Kansas community college basketball team skipped practice to help freshman Taylor Frost do this. Learn how to ride a bike.
Huh?
Yeah, that's right.
Run that by me again?
A Fort Scott Community College basketball team skipped practice to help their teammate, who is a freshman, learn how to ride a bike.
Why couldn't this wait until after practice?
That's not the question that pops into my head. The question that pops into my head is, how come he doesn't know how to ride a bike?
Honestly, I thought the end of that sentence was going to be, helps him learn how to read. So I'm kind of glad that it ended with learn how to ride a bike.
Mm-hmm.
So are they in trouble by their coach now? Like, I'm sure the coach didn't love that.
No, I think it was a fun little whatever. Like,
so they just said, coach, screw your schedule. We don't care.
Good for chemistry, I guess.
We're hoping.
We could all go rock climbing if you'd prefer that.
Get them on this tricycle. The training wheels or whatever, get them going.
More about the story here.
That's interesting. Never, ever heard anything like that, I think, in sports.
Just never learned how to ride a bike.
He's got a helmet on and everything.
Coach Matt Glover organized a bonding session to teach Frost, creating a supportive team moment that celebrated the accomplishment.
Okay, so they did skip practice. The coach wanted them to do this.
Okay, maybe skip's the wrong word. Because
that would have been crazy to say, yeah, coach.
They decided to replace practice or do it at some point during the day. The entire squad like ran alongside him. Keep pedaling. That's the way you don't fall. You got to keep pedaling. You know what's sad?
What's that?
I taught my nephew how to ride a bike, and he doesn't remember that I was the one that did it.
That's tough for you.
I remember it perfectly. My brother didn't do it. He was out there, but I was the one coaching him up. I was the one saying, the second you feel like you're going to fall, keep pedaling.
Okay. Push through.
That's what keeps you on balance. You got to drive through that.
That's a good life advice, too.
That's right. You feel like you're going to fall, keep pedaling.
Yeah, keep going.
That's right.
Yeah. I remember
exactly
where I was.
And I asked him about it, and I told him, because we're out on their old street, and I remember it like it was yesterday, and I was so proud of him, and there he goes, and now he's up, and that's it. You'll never not be able to ride a bike.
He's like, nah, Unc, I don't remember you.
He does not remember that I was the one that taught him.
So how does he think it happened?
That's a great follow-up. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe just organically.
saw on his own one day. It's a great moment. It's a great moment as a kid when that all comes together for you.
I feel bad for this guy. I mean, I'm happy that he learned how to ride a bike at 18. But I just feel like that's the story.
Their season ended on March 18th. Why do they have practice right now anyway?
Maybe the story's from back then. Maybe it finally just hit the news in a way.
Did you guys have like a peak bike riding era of your childhood?
Oh, shredding. Like every day after school, going crazy.
Which grade was that for you?
Probably 7th and 8th grade.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going
to
say. Because
that's when I gained the trust of my parents to kind of go further out in the neighborhood and maybe across the street to another neighborhood as well. Mm-hmm. So 7th and 8th grade is when I started to cook on my bike.
That was the peak for us because you're not old enough to have a car yet. So, you know, you're not, because like once you're in high school and like half your buddies have cars, right. It's like, do you want to be the dude biking around? Just like hop in the passenger seat, bro. So, you know, they got that. But 7th and 8th grade.
Yeah, it's right before you get your learner's permit. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. Because you're not at the point, like all your, when you're in high school, obviously 3/4 of the school have their driver's license. So you don't want to be like, oh no, we're that freshman like biking around, you know, like we don't want to be that guy. But when you're in 8th grade, it's like you're the peak of your school because middle school is 6 through 8. Then it's like you're the kings of the town, uh-huh, biking around to who knows where, just leaving, who cares what time, coming back at who cares what time. You know, it's amazing.
It's amazing. That's what it was supposed to be meant. I guess it never clicked. His mom's like, I spent many times trying to teach him the skill when he was younger, but it never clicked. Well, he was meant for this moment. That's wild.
It's never too late to learn. It's never too late to learn. I used to love on my bike in the summer going to the corner store. Like you're out at the hot day, you're out with your boys or whatever it may be, just clowning around as everyone did as a teenager.
Ride to the public pool.
Oh, man, the best. You go to the corner store, get some snacks, and you're just out kicking, and nothing was better. But when that came together as a kid, that moment where you said, where you finally felt, I've figured this thing out on my bike, phenomenal feeling. Never forget it.
Let's go to the phones.
Let's go.
Rick, you're on Rothman and Ice. The floor is yours.
Yeah, growing up, 7th, 8th, and 9th grade, I lived up by Hoover Reservoir, and me and two of my buddies would ride our BMX bikes down to Academy Park off of Morse Road down near Easton. Back behind all the ball diamonds along the river, there were a bunch of dirt jumps. We'd leave at 6 o'clock in the morning, pedal down there on a BMX bike, which is very limited coasting. We'd ride them dirt jumps and everything all day, and then we'd rush to get home before our parents came home and found out that we went all the way down there.
Nice.
That's good stuff.
Great memories, man.
Good stuff, Rick. I love it.
It really is. And like you said, we rode our bikes everywhere.
Yeah.
Cross highways and, you know, just everywhere.
And cross highways.
Well, not like a 270.
You know what we're learning? You
lived kind of a highway.
You lived a little bit of a dangerous life as a kid, playing football in an intersection, you know?
Let my brother get hit by a car while we're riding.
Ride your bike on the highway
and dust it off.
Yeah,
we got practice.
Oh,
we did have practice. He didn't make it.
I gotta go.
Coach is like, Anthony, are there two of you?
We lost.
Where's your brother?
I'll make up for it.
He's laying in the street.
Oh my goodness! By the way, I went down a rabbit hole last night. I didn't know how many different type of slants they could make on former like mercenary or soldier in regular life has to save people. I went down to Liam Neeson. Like I just popped on Netflix to see what's going on. And it's like Neeson movie after The Marksman and Ice Revenge. And
oh, you're saying now, different actors, but like similar plot.
No,
or
Liam
him.
Neeson has made, you know what he is? He's like, it'd be like Jason Statham movies.
Yeah.
Like now he's done, like the beekeeper and everything else. Like
he's standing in his lane.
It's the action hero, somewhat retired, because Neeson's like 70. It's like when Harrison Ford got really old and he's still kind of jumping off at airplanes and stuff. Like it's.
Yeah.
But somehow they've written stories now for Neeson in his 70s that you still believe he's got the skills to save people and help people.
And find you.
And
no matter where you're at.
I mean, Statham is much younger than him, but I watched two Liam Neeson movies last night, back to back.
A particular set of skills.
They were great. I mean, they just great as in like guilty pleasure great. Like, okay, all right,
it's fine.
It's going to be yeah, they're going to be entertained. We're going to keep you going.
You got the other one, TLC, from Liam?
I will look for you. Yeah. I will find you. And I will kill you.
I mean, you have to be shook after
last
that.
Last night.
When he kind of goes into that whisper right there at the end. I will kill you.
I watched, this one was The Marksman.
Okay. I don't know who you are.
And then I watched, what was the other one? It was some sort of
there's got to be a good context.
He wants to
go
up to Mount Everest and spread his brother's ashes. His brother was a soldier. He died in war. And
okay.
They climbed rocks together, and he reads his will, and he's like, this is my last, like, I never made it alive. I want to make it now.
I love that you can just plug and play random movies and just be entertained.
It was really good.
Like, without hearing anything about
it. I like him.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was good. And the next one, he's got one called The Honest Thief, where he spends time, like, casing these banks, and he's stolen all this money, and I don't know why, at this point in his life, he decides to just give himself up. There's some twist. I don't know. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay.
Oh, Ice Road. The Ice Road was the one I watched after The Marksman.
So Liam's your guy right now. He's your guy right now.
Pretty outstanding.
Okay. I'm here for it. I'm here for it.
I think that was the one. Man, no. Was it The Ice Road? No. See, that's another one. It was different. Like I said, he's got a million of the same movies, but different.
How do you view an actor or an actress that stays in? Is that, like, they're not very, well, they well-rounded? I don't think they are.
He'd be somewhat typecast in that.
For sure.
But he's done some comedies. He's done did the Naked Gun stuff.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He's done other things. But, no, I think he's, I mean, from when he did the Taken movies, that's what really.
Oh, bangers.
Yeah,
we got three of those, right?
But now he's, like, living off all of these. He can still do it at 73.
Good for him.
Pretty impressive. All right, we're going to come back. And would this be a reach, or is he a star in the making? We'll tell you next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
We're the highest rated sports radio station in America. There's no joke there. We just are. The Fan. Ohio's sports destination.
Hey there, friends. It's Bobin.
And
all your favorite fan shows are on YouTube. Along with those fake YouTube ads like Chew This Gum and It Grows New Teeth. Experience the splendor of Bo sitting in his closet, Timmy Hall's gaudy gold chains, and Matty Ice wearing a coat in 90-degree weather. It's all there. Head to YouTube and subscribe today. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Plan for a pretty quiet rest of your day, although it is going to be breezy at times. Northwest winds of 10 to 20 gusts higher.
543.
Rossman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Matty was a big Browns fan. Scratch that, we mean he's a big fan of the former Browns.
Oh, yeah.
The Baltimore Ravens. This is Rothman and Ice.
Right. Saunters in, 10 TV. Adam King, good to see you, my man.
Hey, it is always a pleasure. You have a good weekend?
It's outstanding. How many people does it take to cover a minor league football game?
First of all, it doesn't matter how minor league it is. It's a major thing for this town, okay? It's professional football back.
Just checking.
And when there was nothing else going on, we said, why not go out there with 15,000 of our closest friends and go watch this Aviators team lose?
You're going to bring the whole newsroom out there.
We were thinking about it.
How was the environment? Channel 10 news team.
How was the environment? It was electric. Mm-hmm. It was, first of all, Gavin DeGraw, big fan, 10 out of 10. Okay. Great live performance. Football, not so great live performance, but everything else was great. These fans showed up like they were lifelong Aviator fans. Like, there were a couple of people in the press box. I was sitting in the front row there, and I could hear, you can hear through the glass. They were yelling things as if their grandfather's grandfather had been scorned by this team. Like, they had been waiting 100 years. Like, the Cubs, I imagine, when they hadn't won a World Series. And I was like, hey, this is like your first time seeing them in person. Maybe we dial it back a little bit, you know? No, the passion was there. I thought the refs were going to get run out of town. I mean, it's a nice sign for the Buckeyes. At least somebody can go there and take their anger out and then come to the Shoe maybe feeling a little lighter, you know?
Yeah, the free t-shirt was supposed to soften people up a little bit.
It did not. I think by the end they were throwing them on the field, and it was you know, just brutal, brutal day. I mean, I heard a lot of unhappy fans. I'll say that. And they chanted for Aiden Sayin to get in the game as opposed to the starting quarterback, McClendon. And I think that's because Aiden Sayin's one of the few guys they knew his name. They're like, you know what? We can chant for Sayin because I know he plays for this team.
That's probably real.
Mm-hmm. All right, so here's the hypocrisy that's on the table, I think, tonight.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
I haven't told Maddie this. I haven't told TLC. This is my thought.
You don't have to tell them. Just tell me.
All right. Oh. Look into my eyes.
Mm-hmm. Segment off. Nice.
Look at me and hear his face.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Movie? No, none of you guys
know.
No,
what is that one?
That's The Watch.
I wouldn't watch it.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it doesn't sound
not bad. Vince Vaughn, his man cave is Ohio.
I do like
all
Vince
Ohio
Vaughn.
Stuff. Jackets.
Wait, The Watch. That's the one where they go in the Costco with the aliens. Great movie. I'm sorry. Yeah. That was a horror movie. That's a great one. Look Ben Stiller's in it. All the guys. Okay. Great movie. You should
look
watch it.
Look at me and hear his face.
I didn't know that.
All right.
I didn't hear that line.
So.
Good movie.
If there are people that felt like they didn't want Ohio State basketball to make the tournament and be one and done, and we all had that conversation about whether or not it was better for them to miss to put more pressure on the program than just get in and then everybody say, oh, they got in, we can look away now, even though they fought pretty hard to get in and they fought pretty hard in that game. Wouldn't the great hypocrisy be those same people not wanting Michigan to win tonight?
Are you arguing that there are people in Columbus that want Michigan to
No,
win?
I'm saying the same people that wanted Ohio State to miss the tournament for the reason that it would put more pressure on the program.
Because you think that Michigan winning would put a lot of pressure
on them. It would add a layer when your chief rival wins it all, that maybe you'd feel a little more pressure to do a little more than you've been doing.
Sounds like a poll.
All I'm saying is, wouldn't that be the great hypocrisy if the same person that didn't want him to get in the game would be rooting very hard against Michigan tonight?
So you think, sorry, okay, so
no,
you
no,
think
you're fine, it's your show.
Tonight, Dusty May's up there with the trophy, Ross Bjork and company wake up tomorrow, and that shakes the room over there in a significant way?
Not at it just adds another pretty big layer to we need to get in there.
Here's the deal.
And make some noise and compete with our bitter rival and make sure that we have enough to feel like one day you can climb that mountain and not just wave the white flag on basketball. I'm not saying they're doing that.
Yeah.
And I'm not, this isn't a big conversation. It's the person that was rooting hard against them to get in for that reason, to light a fire under people over there. Those people should probably also want Michigan to win tonight.
I don't agree with the idea that Ohio State and Michigan are not on the same level in football right now. They're just not. I think Michigan...
Basketball.
No, in football. So I'm saying that in football. So it's okay. Like, I don't think... Obviously, it's not okay for Ohio State to not
be... What do you mean they're not on the same level?
Explain that.
Because
they just won, like, the Natty.
They did just win the Natty 2 years ago. And then last year, they missed the playoffs. And this year, they have a whole new head coach.
You mean, like, from this point forward, you feel like they're in different... Yeah, lanes. One's on the highway, one's on the off-road.
Yes, Ohio State is in tier one of college football. There's maybe three teams.
They're Mount Rushmore program.
Yes. Michigan, I'm not even saying Mount Rushmore because I'm not talking about all time. Yeah, I'm talking about right now, in the grand scheme of where college football is headed, Ohio State is in tier one. I would say Michigan, at best, is in the bottom of tier two. So to act like Michigan just won a national title in football or is riding high in football, they had an awful football season. They're unhappy. Ohio State had a better football season.
I wasn't even bringing football into this equation.
But my whole point of that is to say the argument is that it's incredibly hard to have a very good basketball program and a very good football program. Look at the Final Four. Arizona, nothing in football. UConn. They play football. I don't know why they have a field. Michigan didn't make the playoff. There's no team in the Final Four that made the playoff in both sports. It's so hard in the NIL world. Look at the Elite Eight. Go as far as the Elite Eight. There's no team that made the final. You can't do it in modern because teams are pouring into where they can make money. And right now, Michigan invested a lot of money into Dusty May in that program. And look, it panned out. But also, It's almost Kurt Cignetti-esque where they hit the lottery here. They got a group of five transfers that worked really well. They're not going to hit every year. So if you're upset that Michigan is in the playoff or in the championship game and Ohio State isn't, we'll flip it around and go back to November because there's not a person in Columbus that would say, well, yeah, I'd rather Ohio State be playing today in the national title, but the football team didn't make the playoff. I guarantee you that no, they would rather have Ohio State be the number one team going to the Big Ten championship game in football than the Buckeyes playing for the national title in basketball.
I'm with you on that. It's tough to be elite in both year after year, especially in NIL.
It's not tough. It's impossible right now. It's impossible.
I mean, Michigan football did just win a national championship, what, two years ago?
2 years ago. But their basketball team that
season, 2 years ago, is not like ancient history.
It is in modern sports. Everything is changing at an alarming rate.
That was still NIL.
What was Michigan's record in basketball 2 years ago? Look, go real quick, if you can. I don't have a lot. I'd look it up, but I don't have a computer. Because I guarantee you it was not good.
But it's still...
Because they fired their coach. That's how they ended up with Dusty May.
Wait, so are you implying that Michigan has diverted their focus from football 2 years ago to now basketball this year?
I think Michigan won a football national title, and then they said, hey, let's make sure we put a focus when we get Dusty May on basketball as well. And then when they put the focus on basketball, it just...
I mean, they got to the Sweet 16 last
time out.
Year,
they did.
2 years ago.
To his point, they were 3-17 in the conference.
They were 3-17 when they
won 8-24 overall.
But it's not for a lack of trying. Like, they tried to be good at football this year because they bent over backwards to get Bryce Underwood on their roster.
Yeah, okay. I understand what you're saying there, but I'm saying building an entire roster. There's only so much money. There's only so much of a pot.
And that's it's just going to be so fascinating. If they win tonight,
yeah,
what type of shift that we see and feel up there from both parties? Because I hear what you're saying.
It's
a tough thing to do is to spend millions and millions on both rosters and win at the highest of levels. So Kyle Whittingham tonight,
yeah,
is he thrilled if Dusty May wins a national championship?
So that goes back to the debate, and I think another perfect example of this is Indiana, by the way, because look at Indiana football. In the year they win the national title, their basketball program is in disarray. People are the basketball state is no more, but... With what you just said, that goes back to the debate of, do you think in Indiana right now, they're looking at Kurt Cignetti and his winning and saying, okay, we need to pump that, or hey, we got this to a good point. Now we got to help this basketball program back up.
That's why I'm so interested with Michigan, because if we're a part of a collective, right?
Yeah.
And we watch Dusty May with all this momentum win an Natty tonight if they take out UConn, and we sit back this summer and kind of calculate what we want to do with our finances, where do you spend that money now? Because maybe they just say, hey, you know what, blanket, we don't care. I'm doubling up. I'll pay here. But I don't think that's going to be the case. I agree with you that it's very hard to win at this high of a level consistently. But this is going to be a fascinating case study.
I think that you probably then say, hey, we got to the mountaintop in basketball. What a day. What a night. Let's go back to making sure we're a football school. Because Michigan, I will give them credit, has done a very good job pre-NIL of being a good balance, as was Ohio State for a very long time. But in the modern NIL world, it is impossible to be great at both football and basketball at the exact same time. To be elite at both.
Over time, yes. You can catch lightning in a bottle, though, in a certain season, I think, still.
Texas Tech, are they the closest to being this, what you're identifying?
Tech, Bama. Yeah. Bama made the playoff in football. They made the tournament. I'm not saying it's anything to write home about. I'm just saying that you're right, but it's a completely different conversation. I agree with you. We talked about this, that even when Ohio State was going through their issues, we thought it was very difficult to be elite in both. All I was bringing up was the fact that if there are people who believe that not making the tournament this year would have been better because it would have applied more pressure, those same people should probably want Michigan to win tonight.
I just don't believe, and I guess maybe this is just a naive, and maybe I'm too in the weeds with NIL because I everything at this point is contracts and agents and everything. But when I look at it, I don't think of it in that way at all. I think if you came to me and said, hey, Michigan just won a national title, what are we doing to make sure that we're competing with that team? Or, hey, we didn't make the tournament, we need to make sure that we invest money here, I would look at you and say, that's great, Michigan won a title. They had a bad football season. I'd look at you and say, yeah, I'm sorry, guys, we didn't make the tournament this year, but you know what? We're really investing in trying to win a football national title.
So you don't view Michigan as the bitter rival in basketball?
It's not that. It's that I don't view them on the same level in football. And if the scales are going to be off in one, now, if Michigan was better in football and better in basketball, then you got a problem. Then you're sitting down and saying, what's going on here? But they're not. And so I understand your point. And yes, if you genuinely believe that what happens tonight has an impact on what happens in the, in, I was going to say the Woody, in, inside of the
show. No, I'm talking about before. If you believe that before, if you were one of those people that didn't want them to make it because you thought the embarrassment, shame, pressure, whatever.
That argument, no. I guess I can't.
No, I'm not saying you believed it.
I can't.
He and I thought getting in was, you roll the dice, you get in, that's what it's about.
Yeah, yeah.
And they almost scrapped their way to another game. They didn't, but.
I don't think there's, I guess I'll finish with this because I know we got to go to break and I don't like to upset fish. I don't believe there's anybody that because they made the tournament took a deep breath or didn't feel that pressure. And I think that's where a lot of people might, like, there's nobody inside the shot.
I actually think it did give them a little bit of an exhale.
They ended
the drought.
I think maybe,
I know it was fleeting. It was for a week, but
the players. I think maybe for the players, for a guy like Bruce, hey, he made it. For Devin Royal, hey, he made it.
I thought it was big for Jake.
I think it was big, but it only compounds and says, all right, this is the ground level. This is the minimum that this program has to be at. And once you reach the minimum, now next year, nobody's going to say, well, they just got to get in. It's going to be, you've got to get this back to the standard of at least a Sweet 16.
I don't know if that's the case next year.
But part of doing that, trying to light a fire under your alum to help keep investing, is taking another step to prove to them that maybe it can be done.
I just think there's a lot of pressure going on over at the shot. Whether Michigan wins, whether UConn wins, whether Arizona wins. Have they showed up yet? Have they gotten to the Final Four?
Who?
Arizona? Are they still watching the Chainsmokers?
Yeah.
They're still.
Hey, their coach got a big contract.
That's right.
All right, we're going to come back with the Buckeye Bulletin, and we'll go back to football. Stick around. A couple minor injuries. What impact will it have in spring? We'll tell you next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Big Voice Guy here to remind you that you're listening to The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Okay, thanks. I have three more seconds. Bye-bye.
Hey, what's up? It's T-Zero.
One more play-by-play.
Yay!
It's on The Fan, too. March Madness, Reds Baseball, Ohio State Athletics, and much more. Find The Fan 2 on The Fan's HD2 channel and 1460 on the AM dial. The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and 32-ounce Yingling drafts for only $4. Rothman and Ice present Buckeye Bulletin.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Save up to 50% on new windows from windownation.com.
All right, continue in the Buckeye Bulletin. I'll get your guys' take on this. Because I've heard already countless people, even at the station and wandering over TV.
I use countless a lot. That just means three, okay? You don't want to say a couple and it sounds bigger than...
Several?
No, a countless. I like it because it sounds like it could be 50.
That's right.
It's just three. That's what I like to use.
Just a few.
Just a few.
Right. I don't know. I'm trying to, emphasize a little bit. Build it up a little bit.
More than five.
Yeah.
Nearly 50.
That have wandered over going, oh, I don't want anybody to win tonight. I hope the electricity goes out.
Anybody.
I hope there's a flood, a plague, something that will, end this game.
What's the beef with UConn around these parts?
Just UConn again. UConn's always great. Oh.
I like Hurley.
I'm in
Hurley. Is that a hot take?
I would love if we could hear every one of his press conferences. Like, outside, sign me up for that. If we were the home of UConn, I'd be entertained by every
somewhat
press
exhausting
conference.
In a way. Or he's always exhausted. But, I'm not sure.
Yeah, he's always on 10. He's always on 10.
Let me ask you this. Does a coach that backs it up get more leeway to be exhausted? Because I think that's why I like Hurley. Is that if you're going to do that stuff, if you're going to be that guy, but you win, that stuff becomes so... Like, as much as... Did you see Dusty May scouting Illinois Connecticut's game?
Some out there early and everybody lost their mind. We've never seen a coach do this before late game.
If they lose, oh my goodness, the trash talk would be, oh, he's scouting the other team, forgetting about his game.
No, I think within an hour and a half, the hay's in the barn, man. It's over. There's not you want to get away from your team a little bit. You don't want to over-inundate them.
You want to make sure you got a good seat for the Chainsmokers. I get it.
You must love these Chainsmokers.
I couldn't.
By the way, how long are they going to try to make money off that one song?
Something about Colorado and stealing mattresses. And I could not believe that they did that. What are we doing? Like, if I was Arizona, I would file a petition about that Final Four game. I would say, hey, if you'd have let us go out and warm up like normal human beings in normal basketball games like we have for the rest of our entire life.
That prevented the warm-up?
It, like, slowed down the warm-up. They warmed up, and then they had the concert, and then they played the game. Like, they didn't warm up after the concert.
I was watching the Jackets. I flipped over during a commercial and saw they were doing the same thing they always do.
The Jackets cooled down. They did not warm up. All right, continue. But your point was good. Continue with your point.
My point was that we could have two Big Ten teams, one win in football and one win in basketball, and neither one will be named Ohio State. I think that's...
And women's basketball.
He says UCLA can't claim that.
Sorry. Well, we're not claiming that.
He said they're not an official Big Ten member until they're in the conference for 10 years. That's what he said earlier. I asked him.
So is Nebraska an official?
Geographically. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. You don't think that LA is Big Ten country?
I don't.
When I walk out there, I really look around at the mountains and I say, how beautiful. When I go to the Rose Bowl, I'm like, yeah, this is the equivalent to Lincoln, Nebraska.
That's right. Big Ten country.
Kind of looks like Ann Arbor over here.
I'm sure you guys don't know too much about UCLA, but we're in LA.
I mean, that's helpful.
Anyway, that's all.
I think you make a good point there.
I don't understand the folks that are around these parts, the countless people that you talk to that don't want either. I understand the Michigan side of it, the UConn thing. I don't get that.
Well, they're not going to. Certainly, they don't want Michigan to win. That's their rival, and they should want them to lose.
Some may want them to win to get to what we were talking about earlier.
Well, that's my point.
Maybe that'll
win. But only the people that didn't want Ohio State getting in.
Yeah.
Because I think that's hypocritical. You can't want Ohio State not to get in. And then feel like
you can't have your cake and eat it too.
Then you should probably want Michigan to seal the deal so it adds another layer onto what you already were thinking.
You know what? Can I admit something to you guys?
Sure.
I have no idea.
Do we need to bring the music down?
I'm so glad you said that.
I have.
Because I was about to
say.
What's
that?
I don't understand the expression, you can't have your cake and eat it too. Explain it to me.
I need a visual of that.
And why would I ever want to have cake and not eat it? Does that make no sense?
I think it's just you can't have it all.
But the expression we have as a society taken this and made it a normal saying, and it
what
makes
about,
no.
Can you have your pie and eat it all? How about that?
I don't think that can. I definitely can't say that.
Supporting you 1,000% on this, Adam King.
There is not a person out there that's like, you know what? Can you get me a piece of cake, but I'm not going to eat it? Like, what are they looking at it? What is this, that show on Netflix?
I have to Google
Maybe
this.
It's they don't want you to eat the whole damn cake.
Well, that's different. That's just being smart with your portions. But that's not what it means. What do you got here?
You cannot simultaneously retain possession of a cake and eat it too. Well, and once the cake is eaten, it's gone.
But are we flexing that we have cake? Is that a thing people are like?
You can't have it both ways is the whole point.
It doesn't make any sense. It makes no sense.
I'm come up with this. A better one.
Okay, you can't have the coin and also flip it into the wishing well. There you go. You can't have possession of the money while also getting your wish.
Yeah. Because the cake's in your stomach.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be in a toilet at some point.
You hope.
So,
you know,
you can't have
it backed up. You never know.
That's called having it both ways.
It's a garbage saying, and we as a society need to step in.
Let's bury it.
Hey, do you think either one of the that Austin Saraveld and Philip Daniels are going to miss the rest of the spring? Minor procedures.
They just had a little thing. They're just getting scoped, and they're fine. Okay. They'll be okay. Both of them will be fine. It just gives you time to get your other guys a little bit of reps. Mm-hmm. I do think there's some concern there at running back that those guys, because you knew you were without Bo Jackson, you knew you were without Isaiah West. I think that if the spring had played out according to plan, the biggest star of the spring would have been Legend Bay getting those reps, but now he's hurt. So that's a little concerned. That's if I'm raising a red flag, that's right there.
Just okay.
Raising it up a little bit.
Okay.
All right.
Good to see you. You're all branded up today.
I am.
Final Four, Clippers. You got the whole thing going on.
Gifts everywhere.
You're
a walking billboard.
I paid for the hat. This is one of my favorite hats I've ever seen. Ooh. I made a trip just to get it.
Do you have the... TLC, do you have the Joshua Perry drop, the old hot dog drop? Because I think he needs to hear it.
Oh, man. That handy. Let me see if I got it.
Because his hat says it's not a good day day to be a hot dog.
Oh, give me four.
This is great radio.
I'm trying to find a way to insert a hot dog.
There you go.
Oh.
Just
that was it?
Yeah, that was it. It's your hat made me think of it.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to need more context. Why? Where was he putting a condom? I
can't tell you. You'll never know.
I feel sick. Don't do it on my shirt. It's your shirt that's making me sick.
You can't have a hot dog and eat it too. That's what I've always said.
Change it to that.
Yeah.
You can't insert a hot dog.
And eat it too.
And also, now we have it. Now you got it. You wanted it? You got it. We come back.
Top of the hour. Dusty trail.
Deep dive. And the sports rule that's going to rob some drama. I'll tell you about that next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
I'm the guy that would catch a baseball and I would give it to the six-year-old next to me only because I know the camera's on me.
There's nothing Bo Bishop can't do well except find competent co-hosts. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan.
Spring is here.
Columbus.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. ESPN reports North Carolina is hiring longtime NBA head coach Michael Malone as its next head coach. Malone has won 510 games in the association, including the 2023 NBA title with Denver. It's his first college job since he was an assistant at Manhattan from 1999 to 2001. Tonight, UConn and Michigan meet at 8:50 for the NCAA men's basketball title. Hear it on The Fan starting at 8. College football, Ohio State head coach Ryan Day told the media today offensive linemen Austin Sereveld and Phillip Daniels will miss the rest of spring after undergoing minor procedures. And in the NFL, per reports, Giants D-tackle DeMarcus Lawrence has requested a trade and will not participate in offseason workouts. He has 2 years and $20 million left on his deal. This update sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union, but a best credit union for the past 8 years in a row by CBUS Top Picks. Visit BMIFCU.org to learn more.
Most shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for A Deeper Dive.
Sponsored by Low T Center. Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare.
All right, final hour of the program. We are thrilled you're with us. Hope you're having a good start to your week. Ian Fitzsimmons, bottom of the hour. We'll talk college ball and a lot more with him. And we'll get into a couple things in this segment because you've heard me talk about certain rants I have with sports and rules and things, you know, like, you know,
the tackling.
We had to put right on the line. A lot of complaints. Fooling around on the course, bad language, poor tackling, poor catting, smoking grass. You guys want to get fired? You want to be replaced by golf carts? Keep it up. All right.
Caddyshack.
That's right.
Great call. I was going to go Happy Gilmore, but that's a good call. Get his theme. Fire your own theme music up, DJ.
Don't mind if I do. I'm dropping mine low early just to balance it out, since apparently I only do that to you guys.
So, I was thinking about this yesterday. I think I've said this on the air before. I'm not sure if I have. So, we talked about this guy last week for the Angels, Joe Adele. We talked about him because of the Dinger draft, which we'll update here in like 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Have you done the math, sir?
We're giving you a little warning.
I did. I went above and beyond math.
Okay, good.
Look at all the fun that I put in there.
Joe Adele robbed three guys of home runs, two of them being my guys, not all of them in the Dinger draft. I have Cal Raleigh in the Dinger draft. I have Josh Naylor in fantasy. And so it was a bad weekend for me.
Oh, I think I know where you're going with this.
All right.
Interesting.
So I was thinking about this, and I think I've said it before, and now I'm going to say it again. I believe that if you're going to score a home run, the ball has to remain inside the yard. You cannot jump over a wall and carry yourself into the stands. And then it's an out. You can go into and lean over. That ball has to stay in the yard. I've never liked it. I'm not taking away anything from the catch. It was great. But when Joe Adele goes into the stands and comes up with the ball, you are no longer in the plane confines, sir. You are now where a home run lands, in the stands.
Was this the home run?
In
that was taken away. No, that one specifically, was that taken away
from one of your fantasy guys?
No.
That one wasn't.
It was not, but by the way, trying to be the prosecutor in this, that's not a bad question. I had nothing at stake. I had no money on the line. Nothing. I've said this before. This wasn't just last night. I love when guys climb the wall and rob guys of home runs. We've seen some amazing catches over the years. I don't understand why baseball allows, I guess if your hand is still in the glove and the glove doesn't come off and the ball goes in there. But you love baseball. Mm-hmm. I love baseball. We've watched this for years. I loved playing outfield. Loved it. I don't understand why you would score that a home run if the player goes over the wall. The idea is to bring it back into the park.
No, I think the idea is to just catch the ball.
In the plain confines.
I don't think so, brother.
Okay.
I'm good with Joe Adell and what he did.
They fooled the announcer, too, by the way.
Now here's Crawford with a fly ball to right toward the corner. It's Joe Adell again near the foul pole. Leaping up! Did he catch it again? He fell into the crowd, so it's a home run. They called him out. He did it again.
He said, so it's a home run. They called him out. He had to amend himself live in the moment. So he was thinking like you were.
Let me ask you this, AR. What do you want these guys to do? Because it's almost, I think, physically impossible to halt your momentum in some of these situations. Like, I think it's a tough spot.
That's the gamble. Then that errs on the side of the hitter. If you can't get the ball.
Just let it go.
I'm just saying, if you can't get it and bring it back into the park, if your body and feet don't land back in the park and you go out with it, then I don't think it should be an out.
Gamble. Let's take him.
It is a gamble.
I think physics and science and all that stuff takes over, and I just don't know if there's anything a defender can do when their momentum is taking them that way. And I like to credit the guys for catching the ball.
So if you're standing out of play or lying down out of play with the ball, I don't think that should be considered a home run.
That would have been, the bases were empty. I think what would have happened if there were guys on base is that would have been ruled an out, and then players would have gotten an extra base because he carried the ball out of play. So the ball would have left play after he registered the catch.
I understand what you're saying. I also feel like this only happens in certain ballparks. Mm-hmm. You can't go over a center field wall.
Right, you got to have those low walls. Yeah, for sure.
You can't do it in left field.
It's got to be Fenway. It's got to be in one of those places where, A, the ball isn't a foul ball. Although, honestly, this should count for foul balls as well. Like, if you can't stay in the park, it's not a catch.
So the Derek Jeter catch where he's running into the nets, you don't think that should be ruled an out like that? You know, where he's running the third base sideline and he just his momentum
is going. If his body isn't going into the stands, then it's fine. It's an out. But if his body goes over the wall into the stands
after he's caught it, you're still not giving them credit for catching it? That's interesting.
No. They're saying it's a great catch.
It's not an out.
They're basically saying.
You didn't stay in the park.
But he already had the catch.
The rule basically states, as the rule is currently constructed, it basically says you're not out of play until you are. And so you're saying that as you are robbing a home run, we need to figure out where you are after we figure out where your feet land?
Oh, so we're going with the football rule, where if you had 2 feet in when you made the catch, as long as the momentum there, I might be able to buy that.
Okay. It's basically saying you're not out of play until you establish yourself as out of play.
Yeah. It just made me think about it again.
That's interesting.
Because we see these guys scale the wall in center and right, and it's amazing. And they go over the wall and bring the ball back. That's the whole point, is you're bringing the ball back.
But
and these guys that jump into the stands to catch a ball, they leave the playing field to catch a ball. Those are all ruled out as long as the ball doesn't fall out of the glove.
So if we're Cleveland Guardian fans are watching Stephen Kwan in center field, right? He goes up and robs a home run, and for whatever reason, he jumps so high, his hip is on the top of the wall, and he falls over the wall and catches it. You want that to be ruled a home run?
is, as you say, his body is going over the wall with the ball.
He caught the ball and his momentum would take him over the center field wall. And we lose him for a second.
Yeah,
he's got to climb.
That's a home run.
That's tough.
The ball took him out of the outfield.
But I caught the ball.
But the ball took you with him.
But I still robbed the home run. I robbed it. But it's like I can't.
You didn't rob it if you didn't bring it back.
No, but the job is, as you know, is to catch the ball, which I did.
And stay.
And there's literally nothing these
I'm
guys could
get. The rules. I understand.
You want the rule changed.
Yeah, that's all.
Okay.
Yeah. I feel like if you can't stay in the park,
you would have some unhappy players if you
had some really happy hitters. I had some incredibly happy hitters.
Oh, man.
Because they get robbed all the time.
I just don't know what they can do, AR. I don't know what they can do.
Well,
it's kind of like the defenders
honestly,
in football.
It's pretty black and white. It's you either stay in the park or you don't.
But sometimes you can't help it.
But what I was just saying is that you either stay in the park or you don't, but that is after the ball is already caught. So the out is registered before you fall over the fence.
I'm saying that is the compromise. The compromise.
It's like he already caught it, but then we're trying to figure out what happens two steps after.
Well, that's another one we could get rid of. The ground can't cause a fumble. What BS is that? You hold on to the ball or you don't.
Yeah. Oh, I agree
with
that.
Get rid of that. That's 1A on my list.
I'm down with that one.
All right. I'm glad I got a vote for that
one. I got one for you guys. I want to run by you.
Okay.
I got two, actually, in pre-snap. I want to run by you.
And then we got to update the Dinger draft.
Yeah.
See where we are. We're 1 week in.
We are.
Okay. See who has to start saving.
Week and a half, I guess.
All right. We'll come back with that. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Tweet from a listener. Are you carrying the Buckeye game today? Considering we've never not carried one. Yes. The answer is yes. The Fan.
Bio.
Last year, Eric Reeser and T-Bone staged the first annual Fan 5K. People had a good time and no one died. So we decided to do it all again. It all goes down Saturday, June 20th in Otterbein.
Presented by The Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center.
Will Reeser's muscular calves explode? Will T-Bone's beard choke him while running? More importantly, will Tyvus Common Man and Timmy make total fools of themselves?
Maybe.
Magic 8-Ball says, signs point to yes.
Register today at 971therace.com.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Plan for a pretty quiet rest of your day, although it is going to be breezy at times. Northwest winds of 10 to 20 gusts higher. Partly cloudy skies overall, in the mid-50s for a high this afternoon. Mostly clear skies tonight with a widespread freeze. Temperatures fall down to the lower 30s. On Tuesday, it'll be a cool one, even with lots of sunshine. Highs only reach the upper 40s. The wind is going to be quite a bit lighter. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact Meteorologist Justin Gertz.
The radio couldn't contain us, so we've taken over YouTube. Catch Morning Juice weekday mornings at 6 by searching 971 The Fan.
Do it. Rothman and Ice present Pre-Snap Reads.
Sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call Dr. Mark Levy today at 1-800-MORE-SLEEP.
All right, so we did a home run draft before the season. We each got five guys. We did a draft. Total home runs for the entire season for the three of us. The winner doesn't necessarily get anything that second place doesn't. You just can't lose. Can't be last.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to be first or second. Last place person takes the other two out to a restaurant of their choice in an evening of their choice. So he's buying for three.
Oh, yeah.
One being himself. So, after a week and a half, where do we stand?
All right, number one in the clubhouse.
It's getting a little spooky, though, because I've got Juan Soto right now. A little banged up with a calf injury.
He's in first place. I don't want to hear these injury tweets.
A little nervous over here.
How many does he have?
He has 10 in total. He has Yordan Alvarez leading the pack with 4.
Mm-hmm. Okay. By the way, that's the one that's going to come back and haunt me because that's the one. I could have taken him instead. I took Tucker.
Yeah, and I think at the end you were between Vladdy and who?
I thought it was and him, but
because I ended up scooping up Vladdy, I can't remember. Okay, but I'm all right.
All right, so you're in the clubhouse.
Well, I'll take it.
No one's more fearful of that than me because I specifically said. I'm drafting Matt Olson because I'm scared that Yordan Alvarez is going to get hurt, which could still happen, but...
You put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby.
Speak it.
I said that.
Speak it.
And now Yordan Alvarez... And now I'm seeing graphics on Twitter that Yordan Alvarez is the best lefty-on-lefty hitter ever.
He's looking out for me. He's looking out for his boy.
Yep.
Looking out for his boy. Let's go, squad.
So, Matty Ice in first place. Yordan Alvarez with 4, Aaron Judge with 3, the rest with 1. Hey. In second place...
Get away, Art. Hey.
All right. With 7. So Ice has 7. Rothman's got, or excuse me, Ice has 10. Rothman has 7. Kyle Schwarber is your leader in the clubhouse with 3. However, Cal Raleigh.
Zip.
Still got 0.
Yeah, I heard he was robbed by a guy.
And then I'm bringing up the rear with 5.
Okay.
Matt Olson and Shohei Ohtani both got me a combined 4. They got 2 apiece, I think, starting on Friday, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe starting on Thursday, but it's been definitely recent with those two, but I got a couple goose eggs on my ledger. A few of the guys who did not get drafted, who we talked about. The almost drafted team is currently outslugging my actual team, so that's not good. Willier Abreu is leading that team with 3. Brent Rooker has 2. J-Ram has 1. But the two guys who probably would have been 1 and 2 on the undrafted team, Ronald Acuna Jr. and Julio Rodriguez of Seattle, those two are both scoreless.
Okay. Okay. I need Yordan to continue this, and I like where they're starting this week. They are starting in Colorado, AR, the Houston Astros.
Oh, man.
Launching pad. Let's go.
Not worried about you anymore. Worried about keeping him down. That's it. I don't need to climb. I just want you to fall.
Well, you may get what you want.
Yeah. It's like we're rock climbing.
Ain't
you're
that
up
a shame.
There. I'm in the middle. He's down,
he's down there.
He's trying to get me to send him some carabiner or whatever, some kind of hook. And I'm like, hey, forgot to tie the knot. Sorry.
Sorry about it.
Slow starters. We're okay.
Okay.
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Long way.
Yeah.
This thing's going to bleed into football season.
Exactly. And you know what? To my team, everyone on my team, especially the two guys who aren't getting anything done, Vinny Pasquantino and Nick Kurtz, if you get hurt, just get really hurt so I can replace
you. Right. The rule is they go on the 60-day
IL.
It's got to be a 60-day IL stint for us to, you know, put them on pause and bring in a substitute in their stead.
Then you can go to the waiver wire. Yeah.
I feel like you could look at it a couple different ways, and the one way I choose to look at it is that we're so early in the season, and the pitchers are ahead of the hitters, or at least they are of mine a little bit.
It's cold outside.
And a little bit cold, and our guys are eventually going to hit. I mean, Alonso's going to have to, he's going to hit some home runs for me. Raleigh's got to hit some. I mean,
he had 60 last year.
I know this can't be a nothing.
He's absolutely going to wake up.
I mean, just hit 25, and I'm okay.
Sure.
I feel like I won't get skunked there. But
okay, all right,
10-7-5.
Okay,
are you saving already?
Yep, I'm saving up for our big McDonald's run.
We choose
one of McNuggets.
Irwin, I'm Fletcher.
Sweet
you choose
sour sauce.
Choosy or doozy? You and I. We're not letting him off the hook.
We're running it up.
Yeah.
We're running it up.
Who's we? You're probably bringing your own food.
That's right. No, Manny will bring his own Tupperware to the dinner.
He'll bring his own rabbit food. Rothman's the one I got to worry about.
All right, let me hit you guys with the rule that I would like changed.
Please.
The spot foul PI in the NFL drives me absolutely insane. Where a quarterback can identify that his wide receivers may be hung up with a DB or whatever it is and can purposefully underthrow the ball. And then you can get a PI that's normally 15 yards. I can turn it into, I don't know, 40 yards. We got to get that changed. PI should just be PI across the board. I don't like it. Are you guys with me or against me?
I think I'm against
college,
you.
They do it the way you'd like them to do it, correct?
I believe so, yes. Yes.
But I don't necessarily like that because if it's a bomb and you get beat and you're 40 yards down the field, you can just tackle the receiver and only 15 yards. What's the big deal?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
PI, but
I think I have more of an issue with how it's officiated. I think referees are way too quick, especially on like the underthrown PI, where it's almost like.
I don't like that either. I agree with you.
I think the big issue and the way that it's talked about too with this
thing, underthrown one is big.
Yeah. It's Oh, the guy didn't get his. It's almost like if you don't turn your head around, it's a penalty, even if the contact isn't egregious.
I'm with you.
Like, pass interference is supposed to be when you interfere with the guy, not just what were your intentions. And so I think receivers. I think receivers do a bad job of selling it, but they get the penalty anyway, just because the defensive back didn't get his head turned around. But there are some times where they throw the flag on that, and I'm like, I don't even think he barely touched the guy.
So,
but they just called it just because his head was not looking for the ball.
I'm with you on that, and I believe that it's all about contact before ball arrival. I never even liked that you can't shield a guy. Like, I can't even put my hands up to shield a guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's, I mean, the DBs are at such a disadvantage anyway. I'm into that. I would say that these guys, the underthrown ball, I'm entitled to that area just as much as he is. If he jumps back into me to take my space away and he's initiated the contact, why am I getting the PI flag?
Yeah.
It's not right.
It's a fair question. And that kind of ties into my second one, where in basketball, you can have a guy pump fake, get the defender off the ground, and the offensive player with the ball can literally jump into the defender, and it's a foul on the defense. That's ridiculous. That should be an offensive foul.
He catches you in the air.
But the offensive player is leaning into the defender, not going straight up with the shot and then getting contact. He's creating the contact.
I'm with you. They call it.
That is crazy.
So many ways when a guy's driving or whatever and a guy's playing really good defense and he's initiated the contact. I know there's if you're moving and stuff like that. You know what? The other rule in basketball I don't like? I don't like the timeout to advance the ball. I think that's a joke.
Bring it from full court.
Yeah.
All the way up.
Made basket. Because you got a timeout in your pocket, you get half the court.
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous.
It is.
That doesn't make any
sense.
It's just
stupid. It's fluky. It is. Yeah.
I think one of the worst ones, as basically every rule is skewed toward the offense in football, I think forward progress makes no sense. I think the idea that you can have all of your offensive linemen come behind you and push you as far as you want, the second the defense does it, the play is over and we're putting it as far as you can go. I don't get that.
I feel like if you make a move, a football move, and you feel like you're still trying to fight or you bounce or a little bit, then forward progress is negated. Like, I think it's just straight forward progress. You got to a spot. You're saying if they all shove you back 10 yards and you don't go to the ground, they should spot it wherever you get tackled?
Yes.
Wow.
Because you get to do it. So why can't the defense?
Well, they blow the whistle for safety, too. You know, and you got four or five guys, and it's gang tackling, and a guy's going to break his leg trying to just go down. So that's a little bit out of safety, I think, certain forward progress situations, but it's an interesting one.
And I think the big one is we need to put a shot clock on booth reviews. There's no need to have 5 minutes. And I also think that we need to get rid of the whole, like, the call stands in all sports. When you have... you have multiple angles and you can zoom in, zoom out, whatever you need to do, there's no reason to have the bailout of, let's just go with the call that we made on the field at breakneck speed when I saw this from one angle and made a call. No,
aren't they doing that because they didn't find definitive proof?
I know. I'm saying get rid of 100 versus 0, or I guess it'd be 100% versus 99%, because it's got to be definitive, as you just said. But I think what they got to do with this is just go... greater than 50% chance on either end. Either we think the call went one way and maybe we didn't get the perfect view, or one angle shows this and the other angle shows that, but whatever we think happened after reviewing all of the evidence, they just have the bailout of, let's just go what we called the first time just because. Like, that's bogus.
Shout out to Tommy who emailed me because he's on my side on my thing. 100% agree. If a goalie in hockey goes into the net with the puck, it's still a goal.
It's not the same.
All right, we're coming back.
Thanks for listening, Tommy. We love you.
We're coming back in 2 minutes with our friend Ian Fitzsimmons. We'll throw some of these by him. That's next. Rothman
and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Anthony used to ski in his jeans? Are you serious?
No, he's not from New Jersey.
Back to Rothman and Ice.
He's our friend Ian Fitzsimmons, ESPN sideline reporter, host. and so much more. All right, my man, how you feeling?
Filthy fat after yesterday. What is it with our society, man? I mean, seriously. Now you guys will thank you in a moment. You remind me to tell you why in a second. But what is it like after New Year's and you're running down football season? I might have only two or three more games to go in the college football playoff. And you come up with that New Year's resolution. You know what? I'm going to be able to see my feet again without a mirror. So I'm going to get in shape. And then you go to the grocery store and you're thinking about fruit and veggies and salad. And there those little witches are, right? They're Girl Scouts. And instead of going to the grocery store and you're getting the salads and the veggies, right? You're going to eat well and some protein. You're coming home with damn Do-Si-Dos and Thin Mints. I mean, so that's number one. And then you have the middle-aged guy with a dad bod, right? Now you're creeping up and, you know, we know the draft's coming up and then summertime. So, you know, you're losing the football weight. And now you can see your feet again without a mirror, right? You're looking for other body parts you might be able to spot every now and then. And the next thing you know, Easter comes around. Now we got hams. We got the taters. We got buttermilk pie. We got chocolate pie. We got ice cream. I mean, damn, man, it's almost impossible. So here I am right now as my wife's looking at me going, yeah, there's a big old pile of mashed potatoes in my driveway with his shirt off, his shorts hiked up. And I just got done cutting the backyard because I couldn't do it on Saturday. Not going to do it on Easter Sunday. So here I am just looking like a big old pile of mashed potatoes in my driveway, in shorts, shirt off. Haven't had the back wax. But got all kinds of crap going on, fellas. How we doing?
Get the shirt back on. What was it doing off? Like, that's the thing. Just
I'm pale, man. I just said I look like mashed potatoes here. I mean, yeah. I mean, I got to get, look, tan fat.
Go find an open field.
Fat.
Go find some abandoned ballpark and just lay out for all of it.
No, you know what I did? I backed my truck up, right, so no one can see where I am right now as far as the neighbors go. My wife has seen it, man. I mean, so she's used to it. But the neighbors can't see it, so I'm not embarrassing the entire ball club. But, yeah, it's not pretty right now. There you go.
I'm glad you brought up the Girl Scout cookies. Thin Mints number one ranked?
Now we've had this conversation before, AR, you and I, Thin Mints are up. Shut up over there. Thin Mints are number one. Oh, here they go. Get ready. Hold on. Here's the neighbor's dogs and my dogs. You ready for this? They're about to go at it. Oh, here comes Buck. Yep. So, and
they're friends, right?
No, they hate each other. This is great live radio
brothers.
Right?
Sounds like being my brother. You guys like each other, no? Well, kidding. We're brothers. We're supposed to.
If you thought I was kidding about being in the driveway skinned off right now, here's the truth. Here it is right here in the background, right, with these four idiots going at it. So there you go. All right, Thin Mints in the freezer are number one,
yes,
right?
Yes, I agree.
Do-Si-Dos are awesome, but I think the shortbread is a really sleeper. You're looking for a Cinderella to make a run? The shortbreads are awesome. Are those the Do-Si-Dos? I can't remember.
The Do-Si-Dos is like a peanut butter, right? The tagalongs, though, are
those
peanut
are awesome.
Butter, too.
Hold on a minute. Shut up! Hey, hush it. We're on live radio in Columbus, you morons. Oh, here we go.
Oh, I love it. I absolutely love it. Oh, Fitzy, you kind of snuck something in there.
You can obey, by the way. You can hear that they're very obedient dogs.
hey, you snuck something in there at the beginning. You wanted to thank us for something? What did we do?
Yeah, because you got me out of finishing yard work. So my wife is, that's why she turned the corner right there, because I haven't cut the front yard yet, right? She's out here, like, you know, with her spruce weed spray and whatnot. I mean, post-Easter, you know, getting things done. Me, no, I'm now on a towel in the driveway talking to you two with my shirt off. There you go.
We were.
So you postponed all that.
We were reacting earlier to something Daniel Jeremiah said about Carnell Tate. He was alluding to, I guess he wouldn't be surprised if the Jets pulled the trigger on Carnell Tate at two, or if he was drafted at two by somebody else. What are your thoughts on what Daniel Jeremiah had to say about Carnell?
He's the best wide receiver in the draft, in my opinion. He's better than Tyson and all the rest. And I think I told you guys this last week. You know, I talk to the same scouts before every game, and I kind of check in with them before the draft. One has 41 draftable grades on wide receivers. Another has 43. Field Yates told me he has 44. Draftable grades on wideout. So it's a very deep draft. So when I say that Carnell Tate to me, and not just me, but all the guys I talk to, is the best wide receiver in this draft, man, that's saying something. So you're looking for somebody to go opposite that other Buckeye with the Jets. Two might be a little rich, but if he's the best player on your board. And look, if your team like the Jets or the Browns or the Cardinals, don't go by need, because you need everything. And I do mean everything. Outside of like maybe McBride at tight end, you know, for Arizona, and pick somebody for the Jets. I don't give a damn. But you need everything. So if he's the best player on your board and you're the Jets, you take him. I don't care who it is it to. Take the best player available on your draft board, because that way you're not going to go wrong, because you need everything. And if it's Tate, pull the trigger.
Yeah, he looks like an NFL receiver for sure. I mean, he's not massively big. He's tall enough. He high point. He's
we makes, talked about that. Yeah, 6'2", yeah, 190, 195, yeah. Somewhere in there. He's not DK Metcalf, but he's big enough.
Yeah. Jeremiah Love, somebody's going to come up and get him, right? Or somebody going to be able to wait to get him?
I don't even think he gets to the Saints at 8. And they would be salivating like Pavlov's dog if Jeremiah Love got to 8. I don't think he gets that far. I don't think he gets past the Commanders. He might not get past the Titans. Think about that. What is a quarterback's best friend? A good running game and a good offensive line. And what makes a great running game? A good offensive line and a good running back. Now you get a great running back with a good offensive line, you got something going to help a young quarterback. And so he might not get past the Titans, guys, seriously. And if I'm Cam Ward, I'm doing cartwheels if they take Jeremiah Love. To me, he's one of the top two players in this draft are Caleb Downs right there in your backyard and also Jeremiah Love. Those two, to me, are the most complete, ready, day one players in this draft.
How much in your mind, when you compare what Ashton Jeanty was to Jeremiah Love?
I think Love is a better receiver out of the backfield, and I think he's a better pass protector, which is key at the next level. Jeanty has got the home run speed, as does Love. What did Love have? I think he had, what was it, like 8 or 10 touchdowns of 60 yards or more? I know by the time he was done the last 2 years, nobody, and I do mean nobody in all of college football, had more touchdowns than Jeremiah Love did in the last 2 years with 40. 40! That's insane, boys. But to me, he has better hands than Jeanty, and he's a better pass protector than Jeanty. But Jeanty went to one of the worst situations also.
Yeah.
Same thing I just said about Tate with the Jets and the Browns and the Cardinals. If you're the Raiders, you take the best damn player available, and that's Mendoza. And then after that, you're taking the best player available on your board. And that's going to make Jeanty better and Mendoza better. And their wide receiver room, you know, I call UFL games every now and then as a fill-in. Their wide receiver room looks like a UFL room. Mm-hmm. So going back to all those draftable grades, the Raiders need to do that also to make Jeanty better and Mendoza better. And oh, by the way, Mendoza gets to sit for a year, and I think that is massive for that quarterback coming out of the Big Ten. I think that is huge for him just to see the speed of the game, just like Mahomes did in Kansas City.
Let me hit you with this, because we were talking earlier about Michigan, and then we got in a conversation, Fitzy, about the NIL world and how it's difficult to do both at a high level around college football and college basketball. Kyle Whittingham watching this game tonight. Is he really, really going to be thrilled if Dusty May wins the national championship? Because to me,
hell yeah,
really? Because I think all these guys are competitors, right? And
no,
if I'm Kyle, go ahead.
Nah, man, I've known Witt since 2004. That dude is a firm believer of, you know, like when he took over, that's when Andrew Bogut and Alex Smith both got drafted in number one overall in the 2004 draft, and then he inherited the team after Urban. And it only took him, 4 years to go undefeated, which is pretty impressive, again, at Utah. But he's a big believer in when you have both cooking, meaning men's basketball and football, that just helps you recruit. Nick Saban told me the same exact thing at Alabama. You know, that's why Kalen DeBoer and Nate Oates have a pretty damn good relationship. You get both going, it's easier to recruit. You're taking football recruits to basketball games and seeing that environment. There's things to do away from just the gridiron. Look, we have this going on also. And, oh, by the way, look at our co-eds enjoying the game. Hey, how are you? Well, we're winning. Everyone's happy. Let's go to the bar. Have a good time. I mean, it is that much bigger and better when you have both rolling. So you're taking football recruits to basketball games. Basketball recruits are going to football games. I could not disagree more, man. I think Witt is pulling for Michigan to win this thing.
Here's what I think, though, Fitzy. I think what you laid out in my mind is pre-NIL and how you can sway these kids. I'm just taking it from the perspective of the money can't go to both, I think, at the highest of levels. And so if you're Whittingham, maybe you're not overly concerned, but maybe there's a little bit of, okay, maybe the collectives and the people really pushing out all this money are going to want to maybe keep the momentum going with basketball. Maybe that takes a little bit away from what I can do as a head coach and my resources.
So you're telling me Ryan Day's rooting against Ohio State basketball and Ohio State basketball is rooting against Ohio State football?
No, But I'm just interested. Well, here's the thing. I'm interested, Fitzy, in seeing if a program like Michigan can continue to do this. That's all. That's all. And I just don't know if it's
one. There's plenty of money at those kind of programs, like you have right there, like Michigan has, like Alabama. You know, I mean, Texas. These are pockets that don't end. I mean, you're going to your socks as far as how far the money rolls from your pocket to your feet. So there's plenty of money to go around when it comes to putting together winners in both men's basketball and in football. I'm kind of took me back with that one, dude, because I firmly believe even in the NIL world, man, when you're at big boy programs like we're talking about, you easily have the resources to be able to get both done. Yeah.
I think you want the momentum all seasons long, all year long, if you can get it.
Yeah, I'm right.
I'm with you. All right, my man. Great job as always. Put a shirt back on. You're allowed to continue to talk on the phone if you want and just tell your wife that you're still doing the segment after we.
You know what? I might have to walk out on the street like this and see how much I can embarrass her because it's sloppy right now, boys, and it's pale. So we got to get some, again, tan fat's better than pale fat, boys. Let me go get some dosey dose. We'll see what we can do.
See you, brother.
See you, man.
Thanks, man.
All right, boys. See you, man.
That's our boy, Ian Fitzsimmons, ESPN. On the Brian Heating Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. I understand where you're going with it from an individual pressure, like maybe he just got there but he took that job and he knows.
I don't think Kyle Whittingham is going to be over the top happy tonight if they win. I think there's a little worry that creeps in because I don't think you could just, I hear what Fitzy was saying, but I think that's pre-NIL. I don't think that's now.
We'll never know.
But you won't.
I lean into that you're at a school, you're coaching one of the top level sports, that the more excitement you have amongst the student body for everything, the better. But
do football recruits care about basketball success?
The atmosphere could matter just in the whole experience of being at that university.
Okay. I don't think so. I don't think football recruits care about the basketball team and what their wins and losses.
I'm with you on the NIL era brings a whole nother.
I'm just fascinated because we're going down this whole new world and we've been there. I just can't wait to see where we go next.
Come back with Tell the Truth, Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
All the 10 TV people come over to our side of the building to take a deuce. That should tell you something about how we operate. The Fan.
I'm Brian Albee.
Zero.
T-Bone and Tybus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus.
My wife just told me yesterday, I don't get excited about it. Well,
that's the time to bring that up.
Mornings on The Fan. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Tell the Truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by McDaniel GM Superstore. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
All right, TLC, take us home.
We received some news.
No.
In the break.
Did we speak it into existence?
This is just coming down within the past few minutes. The Mets have placed Juan Soto on the 10-day IL with the right calf strain. But the thing about it is that it's a 2 to 3 week injury. So after those 10 days accrue, he may actually go right back onto another 10 day IL stint. So we'll have to check back in where his injury is at. What, accrue? Yeah.
No. I was gonna say that. I was just gonna say it's nice that you're already talking an injury post. Like you're
doubling up.
Like I love this,
man.
Like basically, you could just shorten that to, "Hey, Maddie. Don't get too comfortable up there in first place."
You guys,
at the top of the list. Yeah.
You guys put this evil on me a couple segments ago, and you got what you wanted immediately. That's just wrong. But you know what? We will rise.
You got guys. Jordan and Judge are going to hit for eight guys.
I'm a man down.
Come on. Yeah, it's tough. You're not the man down. If this was Judge or Jordan, then all of a sudden I think we'd look at it a little differently.
The way that they're mashing now. I mean, man, this is a marathon. All 15 of our guys are going to have hot streaks, and all 15 of our guys are going to have cold spells. So
we just want this to come.
We don't know what the next 2 to 3 weeks would have had in store for Juan Soto, but we do now.
Dingers. That's what was in store. You know what, y'all? I thought y'all loved me around these parts.
And really he's going to come back rusty, too.
Manny, I got no problem. finish 1-2. I don't care what order.
As long as we're not live. I'm not saying this. Actually, I am saying this because my guy is hurt. We got to get off this 60. The 60-day IL is ridiculous.
Oh, no.
How many guys go on 60-day IL? Well, I don't know. That's a stupid question. Who really knows that? But I think that's a little heavy. 60-day? You got to be out for 2 months to pick up a guy?
Well, I mean, we got the pick of the litter, man. We had the top 15 dudes that we could pick.
All right.
And
you don't think our guys are going to get hurt?
Yeah, it could happen to our guys, too.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I'm carrying a guy that's on IL. I'm carrying a guy right now on my fantasy baseball team that is on IL 60 that I'm hoping is going to be ready by July.
Hunter Gray?
No. Oh. Schwellenbach.
Oh, for Atlanta? Okay.
Yeah, he's on IL 60.
All right, cool. Spencer? Hey,
I will eat this crap sandwich, and we will move on.
Because we're going to have to at some point.
We'll move on.
Yeah, I mean, as long as it's not, like, nagging him all year, you'll be all right.
You guys can't help yourself. You guys can't help yourself.
Yeah, I mean...
Shout out to threes, man.
How unfortunate that would
be. As long as he doesn't re-aggravate it by coming back too soon.
Who's going to say it? A calf turns into what sometimes? Go ahead, say it.
An Achilles.
Oh, my God.
I didn't say that.
Now, I don't
want... proud of you. That's very nice.
I don't want that. I don't want him on the 60
day. Then he gets to replace him.
Because I want you playing with four instead of five.
Yeah, we want this to be... We want him to get better, then re-aggravate. Then better, then re-aggravate.
Yeah. Come back, like, every 3 weeks, tweak something again.
All I got is y'all ain't right. That's all I got. That's all I got.
We needed this to slow you down. I mean, you're like a runaway train. This is, I think, this is kind of the draft gods rewriting things a little bit.
All right, all right. Maybe this is my punishment.
That ain't over yet.
Okay,
fantasy gods are real. Don't say it. I know where you're going. Don't say it. Okay. I know my boy. I know what you were going to say. It's not over yet.
All right. You saved me from that. All right, cool.
All right, so speaking of this whole home run draft that we were talking about, Rafael Devers is on Matty Ice's team. Tony Vitello was trying to really hype up the by the way, Tony Vitello, the new manager for the San Francisco Giants. He came over from Tennessee, so making the jump from college to pro. And this was at the tail end of last week, and I don't know if you were following the news cycle with some stuff that was happening last week, but Tony Vitello was attempting to give some major credit and make a big comparison to one of his best players. This is him trying to talk about Rafi Devers.
And then Rafi, I mentioned golf, you know, Tiger. Oh, I guess bad timing. All right, let's just say this. Rafi's pretty good about getting, like other athletes in the past when things were going good, Rafi's pretty good about getting fired up at himself and then calming things down pretty quick.
I was talking to the president.
Was that an accidental slip of the tongue by Tony Vitello?
I don't even think it was accidental. He was making a sports analogy to one of the best that's ever done it in his sport or compartmentalizing the getting intense and calming it down. And the guy that popped in his head was Tiger.
It was Tiger.
And he admitted the second he said it, it's like, all right, probably not the best time to bring up the great Tiger.
Right.
Yeah.
The good stuff. Hey, Tell the Truth for Today is in the books. You miss anything from our show, folks, don't worry. You can always catch up wherever you get your podcast. All you have to do is type in Rothman and Ice. Everything we do from noon to three, we'll be waiting there for you. Subscribe to the podcast as well. Take us with you wherever you want to go. Common Man and Timmy coming up next. No Common Man. Timmy is back from Boston. Joshua Perry, Olentangy's finest, is in the house.
All right, we will come back tomorrow and talk to you guys at noon. We appreciate you listening. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Shut up!
If you've recently seen a photo of an older Baker Mayfield fresh off a bender, it's just Bo Bishop. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon. The